after the trial, but before the body was found, Tommy Ward was waiting to be transferred to death row at McAllister, a prison 55 miles east of Ada. Still stunned by the events that had led him to now face death by lethal injection, he was frightened, confused, and depressed. 1 year earlier, he had been a typical Ada 20-something, looking for a good job and a good party and a cute girl. "The real killers are out there," he kept thinking, "laughing at us, laughing at the cops." He wondered if they, the killers, had been brazen enough to watch his trial. Why not? They were safe. One day he had visitors, two Ada cops. They were his friends now, his buddies, very concerned about what would happen to him once he got to McAllister. They were thoughtful, quiet, and measured with their words. No threats, yelling or cursing, no promises of death by injection. They really wanted to find the body of Denise Haraway. Thus, they offered a deal. If Tommy would tell them where she was buried, they would lobby hard over at Peterson's office and get the death sentence reduced to life. They claimed to have this authority, but did not. The case was far beyond their control. Tommy didn't know where the body was. He repeated what he had been saying for almost a year. He had nothing to do with the crime. Now facing death, Tommy Ward still could not give the cops what they wanted. Not long after the arrests of Ward and Fontenot, their story came to the attention of a respected New York journalist, Robert Mayer, then living in the Southwest. He heard the story from the woman he was dating. Her brother was married to one of Tommy Ward's sisters. Mayer was intrigued by the dream confession and the havoc it was creating. Why, he wondered, would anyone confess to a terrible crime, but fill the confession with lies? He went to Ada and began investigating the story. Throughout the prolonged pretrial process, then during the trial itself, Mayer diligently researched the town, its people, the crime, the police, the prosecutors, and especially Ward and Fontenot. Ada watched him closely. It was rare to have a real writer in their midst, probing, watching, about to write God knows what. Over time, Mayer gained the trust of most of the players. He interviewed Bill Peterson at length. He sat through meetings with the defense attorneys. He spent hours with the cops. During one meeting, Dennis Smith talked about the pressure of having two unsolved murders in such a small town. He pulled out a photo of Debbie Carter and showed it to Mayer. "We know Ron Williamson killed her," Smith said. "We just can't prove it yet." When Mayer began the project, he believed that there was an even chance the boys were guilty. But he was soon appalled by the actions of Smith and Rogers and by the legal proceedings against Ward and Fontenot. There was no evidence other than the confessions, and, as shocking as they were so full of contradictions that they could not be believed. Nonetheless, Mayer strove to present a balanced picture of the crime and the trial. His book, The Dreams of Ada, was published by Viking in April 1987 and was greatly anticipated by the town. The reaction was swift but predictable. Some people discounted the book because of the author's friendliness with the Ward family. Others were convinced the boys were guilty because they confessed, and nothing could ever change their opinions. There was also a widespread belief that the police and the prosecutors had botched the case, sent the wrong men to prison, and left the real killers out there.